Tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. We're live from Nina. And during the week, we spoke quite a bit about the whole subject of rural crime. We got an amazing response from our listenership, both on the phones and on texts to the various callers and the various contributors that we had. So much so that we said that we would dedicate our panel, our Friday panel today, entirely to the subject of rural crime. And I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by a number of guests today. Anne Keevy is with us, age-friendly Ross Gray, and indeed Anne is a neighbour of Richie McKelvey, and Richie of course was the victim of that dreadful burglary and assault in recent times. Brendan Coleman is with us from Save Our Local Community in Littleton, and also Brendan himself, a victim of crime. Maura Byrne is with us. Maura, former mayor of Templemore, active in getting cameras up in rural parts around Clonmore, etc., due to increased burglaries. And of course, we were discussing CCTV on the programme today as well. And John Malloy is with us. And John was one of our callers during the week who spoke to us very eloquently on the subject of rural crime. So you're all very, very welcome. And thanks indeed for coming into us today. Before we get to our panel, can I remind you about what one of our contributors during the week had to say? And this is Michael. Do you have a weapon in the house, Michael?
Oh, I have. I have several, Fran, actually. But I would have no problem whatsoever in using it. If somebody came into my house in the middle of the night, I would have no bother protecting my family with the weapon. No bother at all. I actually sleep with the shotgun loaders in the bedroom at night, every night.
You would shoot somebody?
Absolutely, I would, yeah. Because I know these fellas. These lads that come in around houses in the middle of the night, they're not coming on a social call, friend. They're not coming on a social call. They're going to do damage.
And that was Michael speaking to me on the programme during the week. Let's go to our panel and to Anne Keevy, first of all, if I could, Anne, because, of course, you're with age-friendly Ross Gray, but being a neighbour of Richie McKelvey's, can you describe to us what happens when you have a burglary like this in the area, particularly when somebody is traumatised like Richie was? What does it do to the greater community?
Well, it affects the greater community on all levels. For the victim of the crime, there is a great sense of empathy and understanding in some ways of what they're going through, because some of us have already had experience of crime, and I personally had in the past, and I know what the terror, and we don't talk about fear, it's actually terror that you experience when you are in a situation like that. For the community, it heightens your awareness. You want so badly to do something that would undo what happened, and you can't. So there's a desperate sense of frustration. And we talk about, you know, a sense of security. There is the fear of crime, and like we're told statistically that there is a very low level of crime, and that's very reassuring. But that doesn't help your sense of security and peace of mind, and that's really what has been shattered in the area, and you cannot put a price on peace of mind. And what has happened in this case is that Ricky has done us great service. He has raised an issue and put it very much in front of us, in front of us personally, in front of us as a community, and even more importantly, in front of us as a country. And this is something that has to be tackled on all levels, and it affects all levels of society. There isn't just one answer. And my hope is that we will go forward now with one agenda in mind, and that is to create a sense of security for all our people, not just our older people, but for all our people. And like so many things have happened over the last years that have affected people's peace of mind, and at the local meetings many issues were raised, and I personally think that this should become an election issue. And that we should fight this as an election issue. I would particularly look to areas like banking The changes in banking have made such a difference to older people's access to funding, and it's incredible what has happened.
And you're talking about the issue there where people might be more inclined to hold cash at home now rather than go through the rigors of, I suppose, this new technology in banks. Is that what you mean by that?
Absolutely. Yeah. We know that business now, but especially banking, want to manage our behaviour to make us more, you know, use technology and do everything by direct debit. And it is very handy and it's lovely if you're comfortable with using it. But this isn't managing behaviour. We've now reached a stage where this is forcing behaviour. And I would actually call it bullying. It's bullying by the banks and it has to be tackled head on.
Tell me about your own experience of crime. You just mentioned that in passing, Anne.
It's some years ago and it was in Dublin, and I was in my house when someone was trying to, had come over the roof and was trying to get into the house. Now, it didn't happen. But after that, every night before I went to bed, and we're talking about a time where there weren't mobile phones, or I would dial Mountjoy Garda station. I would wait for the Garda to say Mountjoy and I would hang up, because I knew that if anything happened at night, I would not have the herewithal to dial a number. I would only be able to press a button.
So it's easy for you to understand the situation that Ricky, as you call him now, is in, where he can't even return to his own home. And now he is so profoundly traumatized by it all.
Yeah. Well, hopefully in time, he will come to terms with what happened and he will take measures, you know, and we will all take measures to protect ourselves and keep our home safe.
Brendan, you were nodding vigorously there while Anne was speaking. Of course, you're associated with Save Our Local Community in Littleton and, of course, yourself a victim of crime as well. The effect that the crime had on you, Brendan, to begin with.
Well, personally, I suppose, look, my experience goes back to 2008, what it does inside you is it makes you fear not only for yourself but for the people around you. And if you've got a young family or elderly parents and you start to look at the wider effect of all those people, I suppose one of the reasons why I was nodding is I was at the meeting in Coolderry on Tuesday night, and the point that the people there brought across, as Anne eloquently put it much better than I will, but bluntly, they feel that they're intimidated not only by ordinary everyday systems, because they have to go into the bank and they're met by a machine. And that's one of the reasons why I was in agreement with everything that you were saying, that we as individuals have to start taking responsibility for the fact that our governments and our systems and all these other things are putting added pressure on people. And we're very good at blaming other people for the fact that certain things aren't being done, but we need to do stuff ourselves, and we need to stop or object to the fact that we're being forced into doing these things.
And when you say we need to do stuff ourselves, are you saying stand up to the political system?
Yes.
Influence the political system,
yes.
Drive it on?
Yeah. Yes.
So you'd agree with Anne then that a political issue?
It's a bigger problem, because I don't know if anyone that's listening or even anyone that's here in the studio today saw the RTE programme last night on primetime. But the interview with David McCullough and the Justice Minister, Charlie Flanagan, is an exact example. Our association was formed in 2015 as a result of exactly what happened in Coolderry last Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Everything that was expressed there last Tuesday night, we've expressed it numerous different ways in shapes and forms. And I've attended hundreds of meetings throughout the country where exactly the same feelings are being expressed. Okay, so you look at the interview that took place last night. If anyone, I'm an amateur, I'm just an IT guy, I'm not a professional, I don't know anything about how analytics work. Charlie Flanagan, as far as he was concerned, they're dealing with the problem. They're not dealing with the problem. The problem is they're not listening. And by not listening, I mean they're not accepting that there is a problem, that they need to make changes. And it's not about taking a gun or arming yourself. If you're to do anything in your home, you need to set up a personal alarm so that other people can be notified that you're in trouble. Not get a gun. The guns need to be removed. People who are getting gun licenses are getting them for, I believe, sport, not to protect themselves. We've got a government who, or we've got a Garda, organisation, which is set up by the country to protect us. Some of those people in the Gardaí are licensed to use guns. And as we all know, if you need to use a gun, you're more than likely going to put somebody else's life in danger. People who take guns and use them in their own homes or in their businesses, I totally understand it. But you're becoming criminals yourself because you're putting your own life and other people's lives at risk.
You can understand, Brendan, I'm sure better than most people, that when you have the kind of fear that's out there, when you have people wondering, you know, what's going to happen?
That's not going to get rid of the fear.
Oh, I know, but you can understand that they might resort to thinking that, well, at least I need to have some form of protection because I don't have the Gardaí, the resources aren't there. You know,
the answer, I'm not an expert in what the answer is, but I do know that there are people listening. There's possibly even the answers are within this studio. The answers are that we need to make the changes. We need to deal with the problem, not create more problems by introducing guns or other ways of people defending themselves. And the problem is not being addressed. The political system, as far as they're concerned, as I said, if I'm referring back to that particular interview, because it's the exact experience that we had as a group. We went up to the justice officials on two different occasions. The first year we went up, we asked them to introduce something like electronic monitoring. It wasn't even on the agenda. And by the time we got back for the second meeting, less than a year later, suddenly, the day we were walking in, yes, electronic monitoring is going to be introduced. Yet I'm sitting here 12 months later again.
Yes.
And where is the electronic monitoring? It's in the Senate being debated. And it should be used so we can make room in the prisons to put people who need to be incarcerated right. And take out the people who shouldn't be.
And there's a legislation there that needs to be signed off on and hasn't been, as you say. John, can I turn to you? Because you spoke to me during the week. And just to go back to the gun issue again, let's get this out of the way if we can at all. You, in fact, own a gun, John.
Exactly.
But you certainly don't think that you could use that yourself. Could you just come close to that for me, John? Yeah.
Well, personally speaking, Fran, I don't think a lot of people would be able to use a gun. Now, it's very easy to say, I have a gun, I'll use it. But what seems to be coming out of any information I've heard so far, and we had callers actually a couple of nights after with a security company, and I questioned them for a fair length of time, and I asked them to know, was there any early detection systems and that would be there. Everything seems to be the alarm system when someone goes to enter your house will alert you. But as I say, I have a gun. Now, the only reason I have it is because it was a family heirloom. It was handed down to me. I have no interest whatsoever in guns. I actually dislike guns immensely. And I honestly think that what's going to happen with this thing with guns is there's a number of things. Number one, unfortunately, people that will be checking on neighbours or friends or elderly people or disabled people will call. And it has happened already before. Innocent people have been shot. Calling to see a neighbour to inquire. The fear is there, it's instilled. And a simple explanation, we have a detection system for my wife's disabled. Now, it's there about 16 years. It's the first time I actually seen fear from her as regards the idea. I went to speak to those people at the door and she had actually taken steps to do something in the event to press the alert button, which we've never used in that length of time.
So she's frightened?
She's frightened.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen it and it's the first time, and there's a large number of people there. I have neighbours that I check on. They're frightened. And this is the problem. But unfortunately, if someone uses a gun and shoots someone, as you've already said, or Brendan said, they're now criminals. Their whole family is
Could I put something to you? Can I be devil's advocate on this? Because like yourselves, I don't agree that, that guns should be brought into this issue. But funny enough, Declan Ryan spoke to me and the four guys tried to break into his place in Holyford. He was in the room on his own. He felt them coming. They were about to break in the window of the room that he was in. He shouted at them that he had a shotgun here in the room. And it was only then, at that point, Brendan, that they dispersed. What does that tell you, though?
It tells you that these guys are suffering from the exact same fear that we, who are actually after the event, they have the same fear. But I'm just going to make one final point. In my situation, the people who were responsible for my robbery, one of those guys shot his uncle. Now, I'm not going to say any more than that. If he shot his uncle, what will he do to you or me?
Maura Byrne is with us. Maura, former mayor of Templemore, of course, very much active part of getting CCTV up in rural parts. Can I just get an overview from you, first of all, Maura, somebody who's been steeped in rural Ireland? What do you think of what's going on?
I think it's absolutely horrendous, to say the least of it. And I honestly believe it should be a priority politically, socially, in any way possible. And I have to commend yourselves here on Tip FM for the wonderful commentaries you're given and the people you bring in, and in just listening to today's programme. I mean, there's a fear out there. It's palpable. It's scary. It's absolutely scary now. And I know from home that the text alert is an absolute godsend to people. And for people, say, the elderly that are not able to, I wouldn't have them text, say, at 12 o'clock at night. Because even if I said you can be text, the people that are elderly around me and in the different locations around Loughmore, where I'm the chairperson of the text alert there, we as neighbours would go to these people if there was a problem at night. If we got a text alert during the night, they know that we will go and we will call out and say who we are. But in doing that, you know, they're terrified even when we go. Because if it's after 12, you can actually feel, you know, am I safe going into the house? I don't know what they have in the house. But we announce who we are and we say everything is okay. Just want to see if you're okay. That's really all we do. And the whole place is so alert now to the thugs that are coming in. They don't come in ones. I mean, there's packs of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And they're coming off the motorways and they're exiting just as quick. Job done. But we're talking about cameras. The people who rob and steal around and create such havoc, and I mean emotional havoc, they are more astute and so technically astute with cameras. They know exactly where they're going. I mean, in my brother's place alone, they got into a shed, the gate was closed, the gate is locked, and took hay out of a shed, a locked shed. Do you know what I mean? They're well able to get in. They have their work done. But for all the stuff that's stolen, we all know that there are people out there who will buy this stolen property.
Yeah.
I've been to Thurles there for the big opening day when the recovery of all the equipment was. None of it was marked, or the greater part of it was not marked. So therefore, it couldn't be recovered to the rightful owners. It's so, so sad. It really is. I mean, the people that come in, the cameras that are used, we're putting up cameras. They are up in Clonmore, they're up in Earl. And they're an absolute great help. They're a great deterrent. Outside a garage alone one night, there was a van late on in the night, pulled up on the road. These four boys got out to check, looking around, see, oh, and then to discover there's cameras around. There's notice up in the locality that the cameras are there. We have cameras that are vandalised, so that's a sign that there's, you know, I don't want to be caught on camera. But we do know that our local guards that are involved with us in the text alert, that they are very helpful to us. Sergeant Tom Ryan comes to our meetings and he tells us about the up-to-date in crime prevention. And we do what we can as a neighbourhood watch, as a text alert grouping, to do as much as we can. But I do know that the Earl and the Clonmore area is well covered with cameras. Mm. And they have been really crucial to the Gardaí in getting car numbers are the main thing.
I'm sure you heard on the programme today, Maura, earlier on, we heard about the situation in Burrisagain there, that there's just not the funds there for cameras. There's not the funds there for a system to be put in operation.
our country, our people deserve to be protected, and the funds can be made available if they really want to. Listen to Charlie last night on the television, like, I was absolutely astounded. Yes, it can. It is possible. It's as good as education. We need to protect our people. We really do.
All right. Will you all stay with me? We'll take a break. Our Friday panel with us with only one subject today, and that subject is the one that has everybody conversing during the week, the whole business of rural crime.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today. And we're live from Nina, by the way. And our Friday panel is completely dedicated to one subject today, the subject of rural crime. And Anne Keevy is with me, Brendan Coleman, Maura Byrne and John Malloy. And it's great to have you in studio. Can I give you a taste, just a little taste of what we're getting in on text about this? True words, what that man said. That's referring to Brendan in saying guns are not the answer. I didn't use anything. I just rang the guards and they went running when they heard me on the phone. Another person saying your alarm is not going to stop them. They will come in and beat you on, and your family. Hi, Fran. I live in Capamore in County Limerick. There's a hair salon in the village that's been broken into 5 times in the past 4 years. It's scandalous. The robberies I mentioned a particular place a few weeks ago. They pulled knives and a gun on the local who approached them. They had no fear. They never panicked when he shouted at them. They walked out of the estate and into a car that was waiting for them. Fran, the community text alert is a great job. Winton, Tipperary and Tipperary Town are all over it. It works very, very great. It's a great scheme, says one of our listeners on 083-311-3311. And can I talk to you about something that came up an awful lot as well, which is the notion of local information, local intelligence going to these criminals. Is that something that you come across?
That is a concern. That is a concern, Fran, because it's evident that there must be local knowledge, because the knowledge is so exact and precise. And, like, for instance, in our recent event, the car, the getaway car, was driven into a field nearby. Now, you wouldn't just drive into any old field. You'd have to know. Do you know, so that is an extreme worry.
Right, so at best they cased the area and discovered but you're saying as well that there could be a notion somebody's giving them information in terms of...
That's always the concern, yeah. That there is a local link. We wouldn't like to think it,
right.
But it is a concern. The other thing that I've heard mentioned is drone activity. People worry about drone activity, that it's so much easier now to get... very precise information about places, you know, that wouldn't be, for instance, visible from the road.
Right. Maura, you nodded at that. Is that something that's come up with you as well?
Absolutely. In the farming area, I have to say drones are used in the highways and the byways. The farmers themselves are seeing these drones in the sky over the premises at night. And, I mean, yes, you can see that they're tempted to knock it down by whatever means. Now, you won't reach it on a JCB or anything like that, so maybe there's another way. But
talking about shooting them, though.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But there again, I often think of the gun, and, you know, not for me personally, but I feel, and I agree with the panel here, that I do think a gun can be turned on the person, you know, and they want to think of that if they have this in their head about using the gun.
Mm.
So you'll have to think of other means for protecting yourself, be it the camera, be it the text alert, be it a phone, whatever.
And the local knowledge, do you think that there's information passing to criminals?
I have no doubt at all that local knowledge is passed, because they come in ever ready. And I mean, they don't come in ones, they come in fives and sixes.
Mm.
And they know exactly what they're doing, they know exactly where to go. And it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, any individual, I mean, trespassers coming into your house, I mean... You're going to shock. You literally are going to go into shock. You would not be able to say hello, whatever, get out. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to reach your phone. I see that panic in the persons.
Brendan, with all the discussion in the Littleton area, and God knows you were hit so many times in that area, some people time and time again, in fact, was there a notion that local knowledge was part of the difficulties?
There's no question that in Littleton that they identified that it was local knowledge that was providing the information. But I suppose, look, in fairness, we are the people that are meant to be providing the Gardaí with information, which is a failing that is identified. Last night on the programme and on Tuesday in Cooldery, the people that were running the meeting mentioned that there were several events that weren't reported, and that's what we need to be we need to be concentrating on the fact that we have information that nobody else has.
And what you're referring to there from the meeting in Cooldery, there was a huge difference between the number of robberies that took place to what the Gardaí received. I think there was a difference of 30 or something, was there?
The superintendent said that there was only one reported incident in Cooldery in the past year, and the chairman of the meeting the other night said they had, himself and his wife, sat down and there was 32 unreported events where people had suffered crime in whatever shape or form you want to put it.
But what do you read into that, though, Brenda? Do you read into that that people just said they didn't bother, or they didn't do it because they felt nothing would be done?
I'm saying every single one of those things, and what I'm reading into it is everything. Like a few moments ago there, we spoke about how technology is being used to gather more information. Let's be clear. There is nothing we can do to stop this until we deal with the problem. And the problem is that there aren't enough deterrents being put in place for these people to understand. The only way I can put it is this way. If you take, for example, and I'm sorry for changing the subject just momentarily, for a second. If you take the issue of whether or not there should be abortion available in Ireland, on an ad hoc basis, there are some people in this country, or who are even listening here this morning, who believe that no matter what circumstance you present that in, it's wrong. There are some people who are listening who believe, who can't understand why it's not available, that it's not a human right. And it's exactly the same with criminality. There are some people who carry out crimes who have no concept of the damage that they're doing to other people. They don't even, it doesn't even figure in their brain that they're actually affecting other people. And we are also complicit in that when you look at the systems that we're trying to get changed. Like, for example, where we're trying to get bail laws changed or reduce the ability for people to get free legal aid. It's not even going to be tolerated. The conversation won't be entertained because as far as people are concerned, we are doing everything we can, and I'm saying we're not doing enough.
Will you help me to understand this, Brendan? Because politics is a cynical business, right? And if a politician was seen to do something extremely positive about what we're talking about, they'd be much lauded and there would be a lot of votes in it. So, why isn't there an appetite to get this going?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer that as best I can, in the best way I can. A few moments ago, before we came into this studio, you were interviewing, prior to us, Jackie Carroll from Fianna Fáil. And Jackie, on the way out, said to me that, our door is still open with regard to our last conversation. And you will have heard me in the last interview I had with you making it quite clear that we have zero problem with our public representatives in this county. And I'm one of those that believe that. Every time we approach Michael Lowry, Jackie Cal, Seamus and Matty and Alan Kelly, they couldn't do enough for us. Yet, when we got to Dublin, we experienced what David McCullough, who is an experienced journalist, a professional, we're just amateurs. And he couldn't even have a conversation with the Justice Minister last night because as far as he was concerned, he had a message to get out there. We're dealing with this. You don't know what you're talking about. We know what to do. And that's, for me, is the problem. The government system isn't listening. It's not the local representatives that are the problem. It's not the parties that are the problem. It's the system. The system isn't listening, and it doesn't want to listen.
Yeah. Are you not being very kind to our local representatives? I mean, we elect them to influence
yes,
the system.
But they're obviously not in control of it. I'm not being kind to them in another way.
Okay. John, first of all, the notion of local information. Are you of the opinion that local information drives a lot of this?
Definitely, Fran, yeah. Because the thing about it, if you look at it, when your property is after being invaded by Darth people, they know exactly where to go, what to do. And they're able to go directly, seemingly, to what they have in mind, they want. Now, I've had a huge amount of equipment that I had. All of it was stuff that could be sold. Now, I'll give you an example. I was outside in my yard not any longer than 2 months ago. And there's a roadway outside my house, an old roadway before you go into our house. And on that road, within an hour, I was inside doing something in the garden. I wasn't been able to be seen. But in within an hour, five vehicles came in along that road. Three cars, two vans. And each one of them came down that road. And they were looking directly into my yard. And I mean directly. They actually pulled up at the gateway. I saw them. They pulled up at the gateway and they looked and then drove away. Now, there's no reason in the wider world other than that they're going to come to visit.
They were casing the
place. They were casing the place, without a doubt. And about 4 months before that, we had at 2:30 in the morning, we had three people that tried to come in to our backyard. And only I have guard dogs. They alerted us to the fact that there were three people. Not the dogs.
And you saw three people?
And we saw three people. And we copped them going out onto the road behind our house. And in all honesty, I rang the guards. And within 10 minutes, the guards were out. And they did actually. I didn't go to bed at night. I stayed up. And those guards went around that night.
Did they get them, though, John?
No. No, and the unfortunate thing about it, Fran, was there was no feedback. There's no feedback when you report something or when something like this happened. There's no feedback as to say, listen, we have any information, or just to give you peace of mind, we'll keep a check, or we didn't catch him, but we will keep an eye out for
him. Right, so nobody got back to you?
No one got back. And I told you there during the week that I reported an incident of a neighbour, his alarm was sounded, and I told you that I notified the guards. And they said they were going to check out the place. Now, I didn't see them checking it out. Now, it could be only a bogus. But this was actually the Friday night before the robbery took place. That chap was assaulted on the Burr Road. And I live across distance to him.
So that could have been related in some way?
It could be. Maybe it's not. But.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Nina today and the final portion of Tip Today. And we have our panel in studio and our subject, the whole business of rural crime. And in studio with me, Anne Keevy, Brendan Coleman, Maura Byrne and John Molloy as well. Trudy, getting a lot of text in. Give us an idea of what's coming in on text.
Yeah, Brad, we're getting an awful lot of reaction to this, both on text and callers to the phone. So just to give you a taste of some of them. One of our callers says, if our politicians could show the same enthusiasm for these criminals as they are over our drink driving laws, we shouldn't have the level of rural crime and fear of crime that we have in this country. Another Tom said, Fran, rural dwellers should be encouraged to install CCTV cameras and to have one camera focused on the road, which would be made available to Gardaí in the event of a crime being committed. This would ensure rural roads would be covered and not just the town, and that's in relation to the community. He was saying that it's quite a long process to get the community, but if individual householders could have them, that would aid the Gardaí. Siobhan and Nina said, anyone who enters our house after midnight uninvited, yes, my husband would use whatever force, and rightly so, says she. Hi Fran, just as you're talking there about rural crime, there's a community meeting with the Gardaí that's next Monday night at 7:30 in New Inn Community Hall, so it's an opportunity there for people to voice their concerns. So that one is in New Inn. There's also another one in Ballyshkenock in Cidha Hall, that's on the 29th. And in relation to that one, one of our callers was in contact to say, listen, if one person from each household could attend that, but to ensure there's still somebody in the house so that, you know, your house isn't vacant when a meeting, and a well-publicised meeting is taking place. Another caller got in touch to say, in regards to rural crime and CCTV, they feel it should be the army that's patrolling our motorway exits. They said a little bit more than that, but we'll leave it at that. Another caller, Michael, wants to know, are we sending out the wrong message, telling these scumbags that we're afraid and we're prepared to let them enter our houses and take what you've worked hard for? I will do whatever it takes to defend mine and my neighbours. They need to be taken out of society, and so says Michael. Then Michael Joseph was in contact to say, it's a total joke that criminals who perpetrate violent home invasions where people are dragged from their beds and beaten, they shouldn't be allowed to have their sentences reduced on appeal. And if they lose an appeal, Michael Joseph feels another 5 years should automatically be added to that sentence. And more still, Fran, if those thugs had to pay for solicitors, they wouldn't be in court so often. That money should go into security to protecting people who are being targeted. But the government, this caller feels, are more interested in protecting the thugs. It's scandalous to have people living like that in this day and age. Mary Pollard from Colebrook and Thurles was in contact with us to say, "Hi Fran, we don't feel safe in our home anymore. I grew up where doors were never locked. It's now like being in a prison, locking every door every night. I'd fire a gun at them, but I'd like to be the one to frighten them first." And then just one other one here. Dear Tip FM, your time allocated to rural crime all week is welcome and long overdue. I'm in Gotenbridge and was broken into 4 years ago in broad daylight when I was out. I work from home a lot now and it's impossible to gauge my movements. Sometimes I'm not sure myself where I'm heading at as I plan my day, so there has to be local information in all of this. My daughter's bedroom was broken down. My other special needs daughter, Kira, had a room ransacked. My wife's belongings were thrown around the place and I didn't sleep properly for weeks and weeks after until I had an alarm installed. Trudy, I don't want this to be read out. Unfortunately, I just have. Apologies for that. But I haven't given your name or address and your story is excellent. And I mean, you're fairly anonymous there and I'm very sorry that that happened to you. But this is the point of this, to talk about what has happened to victims.
Right, thanks very much indeed for that, Trudy. It brings us to the subject of the Gardaí and their role in this. Now, the meetings that you've referred to, Brendan, resulted, I suppose, largely in Operation Thor getting up and running. Nowadays, Operation Thor, I suppose, is more associated with the drink driving checkpoints and that sort of thing. Can I get your opinion on this and where the Gardaí are concerned and where their focus should be with, let's admit, limited resources? How do you feel about that?
Well, from Age Friendly Ross Gray perspective, from our organisation's only up and running about 18 months, but from the beginning, the Gardaí have been very involved and have held a presence at every exhibition or any event that we held. And I think this is really essential because it makes the relationship with the general public and the Gardaí a normal relationship where, you know, they are used to communicating with the Gardaí. Like, for instance, we've had two security events where we invited security companies and people to talk on security and the crime prevention officer. And again, it's to keep this issue of security on the agenda and that we're used to articulating about it and talking about it. And it becomes normal for us. Like, for instance, in the early days of the personal alert, older people were reluctant to use it. They didn't need it. They hadn't gotten to that stage.
Yes.
Whereas now it's not unusual to see someone in the supermarket with their pendant on or their bracelet on. It's becoming normal. And it will become normal to, you know, use different measures to increase your security. And being able to communicate regularly and easily with the Gardaí is essential for this. And that's why we're so appreciative that the Gardaí have become so involved with Age Friendly Ross Gray.
What do you make of it, John? Some of the people saying to us during the week that their time would be better spent, particularly where the early morning checks for alcohol is concerned, would be better spent patrolling, taking part in the local neighbourhoods, making sure that things are as they should be. Well, your thoughts on that?
Well, Fran, tell you the truth, there doesn't seem to be much interaction between the Gardaí and the people, in our area anyhow. The Gardaí can only be in so many places at the one time, so I personally think that it's down to the people themselves to start doing, and any information they have that they give to the Gardaí as much as possible. Like, as Brennan said earlier, these crimes don't be seen to be reported to them. Now, if they're not reported, it's going to be very hard to follow up on them. But I do think that there needs to be more interactive between the Gardaí and the people. And, you see, I'm working from a different perspective, maybe. We're out the country. There's only a couple of houses together. And you're sort of working alone. Now, I wouldn't have as much experience as any of the other panel here as all these meetings and attending those meetings. I'm just working on my own initiatives. And you need some sort of... I hear every day about what should be done, what's going to be done, what might be done, and what we hope to do. It's the same words all the time, from time to time you hear. And the Gardaí can only work with what they have. And unless they get cooperation, and unless people are prepared to cooperate with them. And to get back to the old system, I remember a time that the Gardaí knew you and you knew the Gardaí. Now no one knows each other. And it's a completely isolated situation. You're on your own, more or less. You are on your own. I know that's what I feel anyhow.
Maura, the role of the Gardaí in this, how do you feel, and the focus of resources?
I think a lot more can be done. I know the resources are, sort of, shall we say, weakened from the downturn and from the closing of the Garda stations. But we all have either one or two Gardaí on our text alert groupings. And they come to us as know your patch. Now, I have a kind of a weakness in myself about them. Do they know my patch? If you don't know your patch, then you don't know. We all have the strangest of names out the byroads, as you well know. And do you know such a place in Loughmore? I'd be wary and kind of saying maybe they don't. But the other side of that is I want to see them out on the beat. I want them seeing interaction a lot more in the villages, in the towns, just generally around town. Get them back on their bikes and get them back on their walking. I think it's hugely important that the people themselves are aware of who our guards are.
One of our listeners, James, says, I'm a bit shocked the community is driving this and not the Gardaí. It should be the Gardaí taking the lead on this. The Gardaí need to be proactive, not reactive. Brendan, one of the things that came up at the meeting in Coolderry was, I think it was the chief super or the superintendent saying that, you know, the personal responsibility of this is important as well. He made an interesting point, even though I know that it aggravated some people. He said that people might spend an awful lot on doing up the garden, but they're spending little on their own personal security. Would you take that for me? Do you agree with that, first of all?
With what?
Do you agree that people, until something happens to them, that they won't realise, oh, I should have looked after my personal security?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, my experience of our operation, where we've been, as you know, campaigning for a number of different things, is that the majority of business people especially see it as something that's outside of themselves. And whilst they spend an awful lot of money preparing their premises for intruders because they perceive themselves to be absent because their homes are elsewhere, they spend little or nothing on their own personal security. And I suppose, look, if anything came out of that meeting the other night that was of major importance, is that everybody, whether you're young, old, if you're feeling vulnerable, there is a personal alarm system that can be got. In some cases, if you're over 65, you can get it for free. And your local alert group are the people who are the key to that. And that's it. We need to do that.
All right. And there we must leave our discussion on rural crime. But I presume it's something that we will get back to time and time again. Thanks to Anne Keevy, to Brendan Coleman, to Maura Byrne, and to John Malloy for joining us today. Truly produced on...